Okay, that song was the title track from an album that went quadruple platinum. It's by Tiffany, the mall mistress of the 80s. And if you think she has forgotten, you are so wrong. There are some fans out there who will tell you how wrong you are. And those fans are the subject of a new documentary from first-time filmmaker Sean Donnelly. His new film, I Think We're Alone Now, he profiles Jeff and Kelly, two extreme fans of the 80s pop icon, Tiffany.
Tiffany and I have known each other most of her life, and we are in love with each other, and she's a great singer.
The difference between me and a stalker is they don't truly love the individual.
As a 16-year-old, she was forced to get a restraining order against Jeff Dean Turner. They have my whole name in there.
I am concerned about Jeff. I think he might need to seek some counseling.
I might ask for a fingernail or a toenail, a lock of hair, or a scab, or a skin from a blister or something. I could ask for that.
Jeff and Kelly, in their own words from the documentary, I Think We're Alone Now. Sean Donnelly, the director, joins us on the phone. Hey, Sean.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure. So first of all, are you a Tiffany fan? Did this come out of some desire you have for this singer?
Not at all. Over the course of making this movie, I've become more and more of a Tiffany fan. But before that, I barely knew who she was. I think she was before my time.
So you discovered Jeff, I understand you were living in the same town?
Yeah.
So tell me about your first encounter with this gentleman, Jeff. He's the gentleman who wanted the fingernails or the scabs or something.
Yeah. Well, we're both from Santa Cruz, and I just met him downtown on the main strip of downtown Santa Cruz, and we were talking to him, and he seemed like a pretty interesting guy. And so we actually filmed a different little movie with him back, like, when I was still in film school and just home for summer vacation visiting my parents. And then as we got to know him, we went to his house and we saw a bunch of his stuff and his Tiffany stuff, and we heard a bunch of his stories, and we saw a few magazine articles that he had been in from the 80s. And so then the more I started telling people about it, everyone thought he was really interesting, and I had a bunch of footage of him, and he's a very charismatic and interesting guy. And so, I mean, that's the thing. We were drawn to him originally before we even knew about Tiffany. So he's a very interesting guy on his own right, you know?
So as you went to his house and you saw that he's a grown man, at that time, late 40s, 50, about that age?
Yeah.
And he had these pictures of this teen girl who was a mall singer aimed at teenage girls. You saw these pictures in his house and you heard him talking about her. Were you at all concerned that he might not be well or that he might be a danger to Tiffany?
I didn't think danger. Actually, the real kicker, the thing that we saw that I think set us into making this documentary, is he has a machine in his apartment. It's called a radionics machine, and it's a bunch of electronic gizmos and, like, CDs and pictures of Tiffany and this thing, and then it has a helmet with crystals on it. And he puts it on, and he says he uses it to telepathically communicate with her. And so when I saw that, I was like, wow, I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Does he really believe that Tiffany loves him and he loves Tiffany?
Well, that's what he definitely believed at first when we saw him. But since then, Tiffany has been married since we first met Jeff and over the course of the documentary. So as the movie goes on, you get to see him sort of start to deal with the fact that he might not end up with Tiffany.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We heard in the trailer, you hear some of the odder things that Jeff has sent. But it's interesting. Other times when you hear him in interviews, he sounds very different. I want to play a little clip of an interview that you and he recently did on WHRU. This is Jeff talking about the first time that you and your friend approached him about participating in that other short film you mentioned.
Okay.
They did a screen test. I acted a couple of parts. And then they called me back and we did the movie, a half-hour dramedy, and about this, I was playing this person, and someone played my wife, and hijinks and mayhem ensued.
He seems very even-keeled and just someone that you would run into on the street, and then you find out about this other whole part of his life. Do you understand why he's so obsessed with Tiffany now that you spent all this time with him?
I mean, I understand a lot more. I would say the most interesting part for me over this project that I hope other people experience when they watch the movie is at first I met Jeff and Kelly and I thought that they were very unusual and a little bit weird and I thought it needed to be documented. Like I said, that machine and stuff, I wanted to know more. But the more and more I learned about like their childhoods and where they came from and how neither of them have ever been in love and they're both full grown adults, like 50 years old, you know, I just realized like more and more that I started to like not think that it was like as quirky, I guess, and random and more very like sad and it's more of like a human story. And now, I don't know, like at first when I would see Kelly call me or something, I'd be like, oh my God, it's this person, Kelly. are like, oh, it's Jeff. And now it's they're like friends of mine. I'm like, hey, Kelly, what's going on, you know?
Right. Well, we should point out that Jeff lives with Asperger's syndrome. It's a high-functioning form of autism. And Kelly is an intersex person. So in terms of Kelly's attraction to Tiffany, is it at all sexual, or is it about admiring Tiffany, or is it just about wanting Tiffany to be her best friend, his best friend ever?
Kelly considers herself a woman, and she also considers herself a lesbian. So she is very much attracted to Tiffany, yeah.
And when she talks about Tiffany, what's the difference in the way that Jeff approaches Tiffany and the way that Kelly approaches Tiffany? And how does that differ from all the other super fans out there?
Well, I would say Kelly is more deeply in love with Tiffany.
She has
hundreds of photos of her all over her walls. Jeff has photos like in boxes in his closet, and he has them like in that machine I talked about, but they're not plastered all over the refrigerator and every single corner of his wall. And also, but Jeff actually goes to every Tiffany event he can, whereas Kelly never really goes to see Tiffany because she can't really afford it, and that's not really as much her thing. So I think that's why Jeff has been getting a lot more attention in the media as like a stalker and had a restraining order against him in the 80s, because he's actually seen Tiffany countless times. Kelly has only seen Tiffany, I think, twice in the last 15 years, and mostly she just writes poetry about her and hangs out at home and does it from there. So she's not as much as a like typical stalker that somebody might say.
We're talking to Sean Donnelly. He's the director of this new movie, I Think We're Alone Now. It's about these two super fans, and some would call them stalkers. Obviously, Tiffany feels that at least one of them is a stalker because she's got a restraining order out against Jeff in the 80s. I want to follow up on two things you just said, Sean. You said that Kelly, she's intersex, but she considers herself a woman, and she's a lesbian, and she loves Tiffany. How did she react when Tiffany got married?
Yeah, that's sort of like the downside of the movie. She took it very hard. And mm-hmm. It made her extremely depressed. She actually attempted suicide the day that Tiffany got married. And, I mean, that's like some of the parts of the movie that are really hard for people to watch, is her venting and talking about how much that sort of ruins her life. But I think since then, obviously, she's come a long way, too. And I think the film ends on a more positive note for both of them.
I mentioned that Tiffany filed a restraining order against Jeff in the 80s because he showed up at her house. But in one scene in the film, she's seen hugging him because, as you mentioned, he goes to her events. Now, some of his friends who lead more traditional, normal lives, they maintain that he isn't dangerous. Let's play this clip.
A lot of people think Jeff Turner is a crazed stalker, a madman, but I know him very well, and there's a different side of this story.
He is kind-hearted. He is considerate. If he ever meets a person, he is your best friend for life.
After spending all this time with Jeff, do you think he is the traditional definition of a stalker?
I think in the 80s he did some things. Like he, you know, showed up at her front doorstep to say hello. And it's not because he's like a psycho, like with evil intentions or anything. I think he just doesn't know any better. Part of his Asperger's syndrome. You can see in the film he just does things that are inappropriate that people wouldn't do, like, on a smaller scale all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, when he's interacting with Kelly, he'll just tell her, like, you should lose that gut roll, then you won't have to get a body sculpt. And just, like, he doesn't mean to be rude, I don't think. I think it's just whatever comes to his head, he just does it, you know?
What do you think about Kelly? Is she a classic definition of a stalker?
No, like I said, she doesn't actually... When I met Kelly, she hadn't seen Tiffany since she was a teenager, where she bumped into her in a mall, and she's just been, like, hoping to fall in love with Tiffany ever since, but she doesn't go to all the concerts. She never has shown up at her house or done anything like that. I think she just is in love with her,
mm-hmm.
but she hangs out in Denver the whole time at her house, so I don't think you could call her a stalker in the traditional sense.
As you were making this movie, did you have conversations with any sort of healthcare professionals or anyone about, you know, should I be giving these people a platform for this? You know, there's been so many stories we've seen in the media about people having stalkers and then having not a happy ending. I had two stalkers at one point and had to have a police case opened to keep one of them away from me. Wow. So I wonder if you had those kind of conversations with yourself about the subject matter and about, wow, should I do this? How should I handle this?
No, definitely. It's definitely a touchy subject, and I know that a lot of people out there are like, is this exploiting them? But the way I picture it, the movie is very, very true to who these people are. I'm not, like, changing it to make it a scary movie. Like I said, if anything, I want people to like these characters in the end and get to understand how they became to be this way. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a very accurate movie, and if you are offended by that, you would be offended by meeting them in real life, you know, because it's not distorting anything or changing. And I think Jeff and Kelly both are very happy with the documentary, and they're excited that it comes out because they get to say their side of the story and explain how they feel. And most people just, you know, stalker, crazy fan, and nobody actually gets the time to get to know them or talk to them. So,
Has Tiffany seen the film? Does she know about it?
She definitely knows about it. She hasn't seen it. We've run into her a couple times throughout the course of this, and we've, you know, talked to her a couple times. I think she will be interested to see it.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Sean Donnelly is the director of I Think We're Alone Now. The film premieres at Slam Dance Festival on January 20th. And we're going to put the trailer on our blog so you can check it out. Hey, Sean, thanks for being on and being so candid.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
All right, take care, man.
Thanks. Bye.